Hello and welcome to an Insight episode. It does not occur after each interview I've had, but almost always. And the twists I make during these insights are totally unexpected. Sometimes they are a kind of a summary of my talks. Sometimes I spin off to something completely different. And many times I find a mental connection to persistent pain. For instance, last episode was about energy, and believe it or not, I will tell you my thoughts on how this relates to persistent pain. Lack of energy? No, I will not be that simple. But if you're curious, why don't you stay and listen?
Pain is some serious business. It ain't everyone who knows what to do about it. Now I hear there's a podcast just about this. It doesn't talk of pain alone, but other interesting things distracting the mind from it. So I suggest you tune into Outsmart the Pain and listen to what Karsten has to say about it. Get ahead. Get it done. Listen to the podcast and maybe change your life or someone else's.
If you find this episode interesting, or you actually find the entire pod Outsmart the Pain good, please tell your friends and acquaintances to try it too. I would be more than happy to get more listeners. And please subscribe if you know how to do that. I'm not sure how to do this myself, but in your app or wherever you listen to this, I'm sure there is a subscription button. And it doesn't cost anything. More than maybe energy, and that's what we'll be talking about today. Charging your phone does not take much at all, even if you have one of the later ones with a huge battery. So keep using your phone. You might want to keep it as long as possible to save the environment, but that's completely up to you. So I talked with the expert Alberto Mendez Rubello. He is an engineer and has worked as an executive at Vattenfall, which is a very big energy company in Sweden, probably the most well-known. He was first responsible with their wind energy division, but later overall, different energy sources. Now he is CEO, that is Chief Executive Officer, or in Swedish, VD, at a company called Plexigrid. We didn't talk much about it, but the conclusion was that it works for energy like Ericsson works for networks. You have to dig deeper to understand that. But I have a distinct feeling that Alberto is at the right place in that company. I published this episode because there was an upcoming election in Sweden where almost everyone was talking about energy and the cost of it. And the politicians had opposite views on what was right. Was this due to Swedish problems or external, like the war in Ukraine, brought upon the whole world because of Putin? Why are the prices so much higher than before? And I actually asked Alberto if he had a political agenda, and he very wisely said that he did not. But in a democracy, we really need to discuss these things. He said that he does vote, but he wouldn't tell us what he votes on. But he said that he has changed parties between the elections, just like anyone can do in a democracy. So we leave the politics there. Alberto told us that Sweden is quite unique in the way that we have all these different energy sources, which makes it possible to have more solutions to a problem than other countries where they maybe only use a few sources. There are official figures and nice graphs of these if you Google European Union and energy source. A bit enlightening, at least for me. He told us about a quite complex contract system, or at least it was complex for me. There are different markets where our is called Nordpol, which is quite a funny name, don't you think? Anyway, this pool is connected to the rest of Europe, so we do not stand alone. For instance, we have four zones in Sweden, 1, 2, 3, 4, where 1 is up north and 4 is at the southernmost part. And we could maybe call Denmark zone 5 and Germany zone 6, because we are interconnected. And there is an auction. There is an auction where the different producers offer their energy at a certain price. The most expensive are excluded from the auction result. For the rest, the highest price sets what that hour will cost for everyone to buy electricity in the pool.
Here's your winner.
You might think it is kind of strange that the highest price wins,
what?
But it does have a theoretical positive effect, which you can listen to in my pod. I am not sure I understood it all, but right now it means that the highest prices are for the gas-driven reactors in Germany, because they get their gas from Russia, and we know what that means. So they set the price for the rest of Europe. That is why it has become so expensive for everyone. But others, of course, gain on this. The wind power in Sweden, which cost very little, get the same price as the gas-driven reactors in Germany get when they sell their energy, which means that they earn a lot of money. And then you might think that big companies like Vattenfall would too, but they are usually ahead because they have written contracts, so they are not so price-sensitive in the future. They wrote contracts a few years ago, so the price they are selling for were set quite some years ago when the price was much lower. So why not just scratch this system and do something else? Well, Alberto said that although you really need to take a look at the system when people are suffering and some are making a fortune out of this, the Nord Pool system actually has served us well for a very long time. Sweden has had very good prices, and the system itself was invented by people who wanted this to work. Now, when there are extreme circumstances, maybe you shouldn't change the whole system for something which has worked for decades and then is out of tune for a year or two. But in the same breath, he said that you really need to discuss this in a neutral, technical and economical way without getting into politics where it is used to show how the other side is wrong. He then told us that Spain and Portugal tried a new system, which finally was approved by the EU. They took the gas reactors out of the market system and told them that they would get paid their higher prices but would not be in the bid for the market. Then the rest of the power suppliers would have that auction like usual. Since the expensive power, the gas power, was around 20% of the supply and 80% was the other, more inexpensive power, the person in the household who got the electrical bill, they paid 20% at a higher price, which went to the gas, but 80% at the other price, the market auction. And this system seems to have lowered the cost for the end user a lot in Spain and Portugal. And I know that the EU now is discussing what to do about the prices. Of course, although there are much more important reasons than lowering the electrical bill, the best start would be to end the war in Ukraine. I will be talking to a pain doctor working there in a couple of weeks from now, listening to what he has to say about all this.
Well, it's a complicated question to give reliable and unbiased answer. And maybe people who are professionally studying history books could answer it better, but I will try.
Alberto also said that we have a very robust electrical system, so we are very well armored for the future. As of this episode, another nuclear reactor had to be stopped in Sweden because of service. So, of course, things still can happen that change the supply. Alberto also told us that there is a big problem with the nuclear waste, which no one really seems to be very concerned with. For instance, there is not one single geographical location in the US which can take care of the waste, although they are using a lot of nuclear reactors. The best research in the world on this is made in Finland and Sweden, as we have the means to stow away waste as well. But how on earth can we be sure that anything will be kept safe for another 100,000 years as needed? Well, we can see that some salts in the mines have been undisturbed for the last 100,000 years, so that could be a hint. Then we talked just a bit about electrical cars and pain, since Alberto seemed to have pain and was actually a listener to this pod before self being a guest. Wow. Now then, how will I direct this talk to something regarding persistent pain? Not in the way you think, I'm sure. But here we go. We had some stable electricity prices in Sweden. Then this maniac started a war in Ukraine, although it was called a special operation. The West was really united and pulled out their business out of Russia. There were sanctions and so on. Now there is a worldwide recession coming, prices are rocketing, and I really get sad to my bone when I think of all the personal tragedies happening in Ukraine. If I just imagine being torn from my family and children because of a war I didn't start, getting my house bombed and not knowing anything about my friends and relatives, I could almost start crying recording this. So everything I talk about here is really so shallow compared with what is happening over there. But on the other hand, our reality here is so much closer, and therefore is what we talk about. We really can't relate to the war in that close way. Just the way we can't relate to starvation in Africa. I think it is human to be that way, and we should be thankful and help people who engage in these things. But we should not have a bad conscience when we live our ordinary lives. Oh, I think I got a bit carried away, wasn't I, talking about pain? Where was I? Well, everything was working quite well in Sweden. Then all of this happened. And as for the big picture, the person at the stove at home could not do much about it. Hard to change electricity pool contracts or end a war. But the person needed to do something. So what do we do? If we have the possibility, we might renegotiate our electrical household contract and maybe the interest with the bank. We turn off unnecessary electricity, maybe use our car less and walk more or commute other ways if possible. You have probably changed a lot yourself, just like I have done. So you see, even if there are external factors you cannot do anything about, you can always adjust to the best of your ability to make things better. So, here it comes.
Listen to this.
Even if you or your friend or your coworker or relative has a pain that wasn't their doing, could be an accident, a disease, just coming out of the blue, after a vaccination, a medical treatment, or just genetics, there is something to do. Just like the external war or the expensive reactors, the pain itself came from outside, so to say. But you just don't sit and think, oh, now everything is much more expensive, and you do absolutely nothing, unless you're extremely rich, I guess. But in the same way, you can do something about the pain, because the knowledge is out there. The first thing many people think about is medication. And if that might be the case, you need to know what kind of medication which could be of interest, because intensity has nothing to do with it. A lot of pain does not mean a lot of medication. More of that in my book Outsmart the Pain, if you're interested. It's a whole chapter about that. And if medication is not your cup of tea, or it has been tried and did not help, there is knowledge about what to do. Research shows that physical activity is what you need, if you can. I'm not talking about people who cannot because they are maybe tetraplegic or have other disabilities, but about the great majority which actually can do physical activity, but they think they can't. Yes, it does hurt, especially in the beginning, but it will get better. You might need help by a healthcare professional, maybe a rehab program, but there are things to do, I promise you. Just like with the electrical bill. Maybe you need to exclude something else which costs just a lot of money. Quit smoking. Just like this, you might need to change your life and exclude that hour in the sofa resting to an hour of light exercise, like a walk. It's just like the war in Ukraine. You cannot possibly change Putin and make him stop the war yourself, but you have adopted because of the consequences. And you cannot really be angry on that person that hit your car and started your persistent pain in the neck. You really need to adjust yourself. And you could not possibly get angry with me saying this because I do not talk to you personally, because everyone can listen to this. But on a big picture, this is true. I promise you that too. I have met so many patients who have changed their lives and become much better after physical activity and other adjustments. If you have a story of success, please write me and tell me. Maybe I can talk about that in a future pod. Together, we can help other people who are not there yet. With these words, I hope you have enjoyed this show. Next week, we will talk to a very special guy who is a manager whose motto is love and respect. Really, can you work like that? Or is it just something you say which sounds good? Or maybe just too mushy for some love and respect? Join me next week and find out. So, thank you so, so much for listening, and I hope to engage you next week as well. Take care.